The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050, WTKA online at WTKA.com. They're coming to Matthew Stafford's rescue. I'm being too hard on Matthew. You're not giving him enough credit for what he did while he was in Detroit. And he went to the Rams and he's elevated them right away.
Listen,
let me make this clear. And I'll read the tweets and the emails that have come in since I remade the point after a day from Dan Orlovsky across the board. I mean, there's this tired narrative that the Lions, the franchise, held Matthew Stafford back all those years. Granted, I will give you, and I said I was one of the main ones saying that Quentin Tricia was going to be a disaster. When they let Jim Caldwell go, I wasn't that broken up about it. But when they hired Matt Patricia, say this might as well have kept Jim Caldwell. That's not revisionist. I said that at the time. Worked out that way, right? And it was a terrible decision to go to Matt Patricia. So that did hamstring Matthew Stafford. But let's not act like, as I read this tweet from @21Mumra, he must be a Thundercats fan, Mr. Weintraub, as he makes a reference to Mumra, the ever-living. He said, levels people go to disparage that man, talking about Matthew Stafford. The Lions have sucked for 60 years. No one has been able to win with the Lions. Maybe one QB ever has won without talent around him, and that's New England's Tom Brady, who's considered the greatest quarterback of all time. Blame the four, it's not Stafford. See, this is what I'm talking about, Ira. He never had talent around him. Matthew Stafford never had talent around him in Detroit. He never had talent around him that one of those years, enough talent where he could put him over the top, get him over the hump. He never had a receiver comparable to Ja'Marr Chase. He never had a dual threat running back, a guy who could run the football and catch it out of the backfield like Joe Mixon. He never had that, right? I mean, Joe Burrow is blessed with more talent in year two than Matthew Stafford ever had with the Lions, right? What am I missing? I mean, I guess Calvin Johnson was just overrated. I guess Reggie Bush hadn't won a Super Bowl when he came to the Lions, right? I guess in the 13 draft picks that the Lions had with Matthew Stafford, after they picked Matthew Stafford, I guess they didn't spend 8 of them on offense. 3 of them on tight ends. I guess that didn't happen. Now, I'm not saying that all those picks were the best picks. I was one of the main ones ridiculing the Eric Ebron pick and the T.J. Hockenson pick. You guys will remember. I said, you remember the show? I said, don't draft Eric Ebron. I was adamant about it. Don't draft Eric Ebron. They did it. Because, hey, we got to give Matthew Stafford, we got to give him tools. Even though there's a big-time defensive player still on the board here, the Lions can use more. Let's take Eric Ebron.
The guy did have a 13-touchdown season in Indianapolis. Where his quarterback there elevated his play a little bit, didn't he?
Seems to have, right? And then they drafted Hockenson. I said, why are we doing this? We need to be thinking defense here. Got to put these weapons, got to give Matthew Stafford more to work with. I mean, look at the second-round picks. Skewed offense with that as well during Matthew Stafford's tenure. So, again, I'm not saying that all those decisions were the best ones. I argued against many of them. But you can't tell me that there wasn't enough talent in at least a couple of those years where they couldn't win one playoff game. That's all the franchise. Matthew Stafford had nothing to do with them not getting over the hump one of those years. Come on, man. This is ridiculous. It can be both. It can be that they're a bad franchise. They are. And that Matthew Stafford wasn't a good leader. He wasn't. Really good talent, not a good leader. Could never elevate his team the way the great quarterbacks have. He is blessed to be on an outstanding team. He is a contributor to that team. Is he the reason? Is he Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, Joe Burrow? I don't think so. He's somewhere between them and Jimmy Garoppolo. Better, he's a better talent than Jimmy Garoppolo, but my point in mentioning that is, man, this is a franchise that has put a lot around him, a lot of tools, more tools than many of these other teams have. When you consider, yeah, I mean, there was a year in Detroit where you got, man, you got Calvin, you got Golden Tate, and you look at the tight ends, you got Pettigrew and Ebron, and you got some weapons. Now you have, let me think about it, you got Cooper Kupp, DeSean Jackson, Odell Beckham, you got Higbee. Oh, and look at the defense. Look at the defense. I mean, you got Hall of Famers at every level of the defense, well, at a couple levels of the defense at least. So, again, really good, one of the best talents we've ever seen. Certainly the most talented quarterback the Lions have ever had. The best quarterback for the Lions of my lifetime. I'll give him that. But this idea, this notion that, oh, he had to break away from the Lions, and that by breaking away from the Lions, that was all that was holding him back. Get with a better team, get with another team, and instantly they will get over the top without taking into account that, man, look at this squad. You put Jared Goff on that squad, I think that team is in the NFC Championship again. Now, hey, can they go out and beat the 49ers this week? You know, I will, if they do that, it won't change my opinion of Matthew Stafford from his time in Detroit. He was not a good leader in Detroit. He was not a quarterback that could elevate his team in Detroit, even in the years where they had enough talent where they should have at least won a playoff game. But if he can go out and beat the 49ers, a team that took it, that beat him twice in the regular season, a team that had him stepping up in the post-game presser after their last game against the 49ers, said, man, that was a tough environment to play in. You're at home. What do you mean, tough environment to play in? You kidding me?
Sam, total, not an aside, a question. I'm curious. So they lost on the road by 21. They lost at home by 3 in overtime. They're a 3.5-point favorite. Vegas is weird. Like, I'm not saying that they shouldn't be favored. On paper, they're still probably the better team, but they are 0-2 against this team. Yet they're a 3.5-point favorite. I don't understand how the odds work.
Here's what I know. Yes, the 49ers had a lot of fans at that last game. A lot of fans at that last game.
Oh, by the way, the geo-blocking, it's over. It ended.
They said they sold the allotment of tickets, though, right?
That geo-blocking apparently disappeared yesterday morning at some point during the morning at California time.
It wasn't because they sold the allotment of tickets. That's the explanation that they gave.
My guess is that they had to let it go because Ticketmaster also does secondary market selling, and they'll lose a lot of money if they block it. So they're like, the primary tickets are sold, so we'll reopen it back up. Those tickets are going to be sold to San Francisco people for a lot of money.
But that was one of the reasons that Matthew Stafford was talking about they lost that game. Oh, man, it's a tough environment to play in because they had all these 49er fans in our building. Elevate your team. So what I will take from a Rams win, if they're able to pull it off in this third matchup between these two teams in this hostile home environment, if a third, they said maybe a third to half the fans at their last matchup were 49er fans at SoFi. So let's say you're saddled with that predicament, and that's just so tough for one of the all-time great talents, right? If he's able to elevate his team this time, I'll say, okay, that he's progressed. He wasn't able to do that in Detroit. Not necessarily because he was hamstrung the whole time, because there were times where he should have elevated the team to a playoff victory. I would say he has grown from that experience. He has gotten better. He has gotten to the point now, this stage of his career, where he can elevate a team because he couldn't before. You can't tell me in that period between, I don't know, 2012 and 2016 that he didn't have enough talent to win a playoff game in one of those years. Not if you're one of the best, the top five quarterback talents in the game. I'll give him that. Just wasn't one of the top five leaders. Maybe he's gotten to the point where he is now, but it's a whole lot of revisionist history going on. I said in 2016, trade Matthew Stafford. Sell high. They still got a really good return. They would have got a better return if they had traded him in 16 before they signed him to that gargantuan contract, like I said at the time. On this show, saying go after a trade with the Vikings or the Cowboys, two desperate teams that are trying to make playoff runs. Cowboys lucked up, and Dak wound up being a big-timer. The Vikings gave up two first-round draft picks for Sam Bradford. I was right, Ira. I was right. We got to get to a break. Be back on the other side with Richard Reddy, Towny Top 3. Stay tuned for that here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The
countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.